It's the Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. As the Black Lives Matter movement continues to grow, many activists are starting to explore different facets of the African-American experience. This weekend, the audio documentary Black Girls Matter premieres on nearly 50 public radio stations across the country. The piece chronicles some of the challenges faced by young black girls in school, including misinterpreted actions that result in punishment. Joining us to talk about their project and steps to helping prevent the school-to-prison pipeline for young black girls are co-producers Ama Ababio and Marna Owens. Marna Owens, by the way, is a Penn State student, and Ama goes to Harvard. So I am a little bit intimidated by your brilliance. Ladies, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Don't be intimidated.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You're welcome. Thank you for joining us by phone today. And before we get into the conversation, I described this earlier as a mini documentary. It's a nearly 5 minute long piece. So just so that people understand exactly what we're talking about, we're gonna play that for them, and then we'll have our conversation. This is the audio documentary Black Girls Matter, again produced by our guests Ama Ababio and Marna Owens.
Anaya Stanley, 7.
Darnisha Harris, 16.
Lillian Gatton, 12.
Tayana Parker, 7.
Dejira Becton, 15.
Makai Hutchins, 12.
Ataya Haynes, 17.
Kira Wilmot, 16.
Desiree Watson, 6.
Mia Paz, 16.
Vanessa Van Dyke, 12.
Say her name. You may not have heard of these black girls. However, they all face injustices that range from over-enforcement of school dress code to wrongful incarceration. All of these names have been covered in the media, but imagine all of the stories of the girls that go unreported.
Black girls are only 14% of the general population, but make up 33% of the girls detained and sentenced.
However, it was not until recently that black girls have been included in the reforms of the juvenile justice system. Lee Lohman, the Schaefer Public Interest Fellow at the Education Law Center in Pittsburgh, provides one explanation as to why.
It's always focused on, well, we have to make sure we don't funnel more boys into the justice system. And so I think a lot of times girls get left out of that. Also, they have different issues that are actually at stake with girls that boys don't have. And so people don't always think about those things.
Unlike black boys, black girls are affected by racism and sexism. Ashley Sawyer, a Stonelight Emerging Leaders Fellow at the Education Law Center, talks about the implicit racial and sexual bias against black girls.
Studies and reports talk about the ways in which teachers perceive girls of color to have more attitude and sort of fits into that narrative about the angry black woman, even when the black woman is a girl.
Black girls are systematically funneled into the juvenile justice system through the school-to-prison pipeline. Ms. Sawyer from the Education Law Center defines a school-to-prison pipeline as
suspension, expulsion, to push a student out of school, and then from there, it's a pipeline. The kid is out of school, and that disengages them from school. They're not interested in participating. It changes the school climate for them in a negative way. That free time that they have, they're more likely to be arrested, and then often there are kids who are arrested in school, and from that school-based arrest, they end up in the juvenile justice system, and then from there, the adult prison system.
According to the U.S. Department of Education, black girls are 6 times more likely to be suspended than white girls. They are often unfairly suspended under the subjective category of disobedience and disruptive behavior.
One teacher might perceive that an African-American girl is being disrespectful or insubordinate when she, you know, walks a certain way or speaks a certain way or uses her hand gestures in a certain way, whereas a girl who is white may say those same words and disagree with the teacher in the same manner, but because of the way the teacher perceives the two young women's actions, the black girl is more likely to be suspended.
The Human Rights Project for Girls, along with the Georgetown Law Center on Poverty and Inequality and the Ms. Foundation for Women, released a report in 2015 that identifies a new kind of pipeline that affects black girls disproportionately. The report calls this new pipeline the sexual abuse to prison pipeline that results from the arrest and detainment of black girls due to their responses to sexual violence.
Trauma responses can include truancy, running away, and even prostitution. However, instead of being seen as cries for help, black girls are being incarcerated rather than rehabilitated. Maheem Kaleem, an Equal Justice Works Fellow at the Human Rights Project for Girls in Washington, D.C., talks about this issue.
You are a victim of child sexual abuse. Maybe your community doesn't have the kind of access to mental health services that a more privileged community might have. You respond to that trauma, but it goes untreated. So you act in ways that are natural.
Once inside prison, they face a system that is not equipped to identify and treat these traumas. Again, Ms. Sawyer.
The juvenile justice system is something that initially was set out to try to rehabilitate youth, but we see more and more now that it is not rehabilitating youth.
Even though Black girls face many challenges on many fronts, they do have hope. Ms. Lohman offers ways to show Black girls that their lives matter.
Acknowledge them while they're in school. Let them know they're doing well. Tell them they're doing something good. So that way they don't feel alone and they don't feel sectioned out or forgotten, which is the worst thing.
Dr. Linda Lane, superintendent of Pittsburgh Public Schools, adds that schools must form loving relationships with students, face issues of race head on, and create spaces to listen to the voices of Black girls. And according to Ms. Kaleem, the solution may be as simple as treating a Black girl with the respect and dignity that every human being deserves.
Ask young people what they're experiencing and let young people be the ones to tell you what they need. Because girls, as you guys know, once you ask what it is you need and she feels comfortable, you're going to get all the answers.
I am Ama Babio.
I am Marna Owens. And we are Black Girls That Matter.
And again, that was the documentary Black Girls Matter, produced by our guests, co-producers Ama Ababio and Marna Owens. Again, that documentary premieres on nearly 50 public radio stations across the country. And ladies, I'm curious how you came up with the idea of creating this.
Well, originally, Alma and myself, we wanted to encompass women. And so we wanted to find the core issues that were at hand. And we wanted to be able to touch on something that not too many people look at, not too many people pay attention to. And in this Black Lives Matter movement, everybody is looking at Black lives, and we wanted to touch upon a part that people aren't really looking at. Nobody's really looking at some of the Black girls that are going through a lot of troubles, and instead of helping, a lot of people are not helping the issue. A lot of people are putting them in suspending them or incarcerating them or doing different things like that, and it's not really fixing the issue. So we wanted to focus on something that would definitely highlight the issue so that it can be fixed.
And so much of this issue was or has been brought to the fore by the incident involving a Black woman named Sandra Bland, who I think a lot of people are familiar with this, a woman who was pulled over in Texas. And the incident was captured on videotape, a situation that escalated out of control so seemingly needlessly that there was this reaction from the police officer almost immediately to what Sandra was doing, which to many people seemed perfectly normal, and certainly to her didn't seem like she was doing anything out of line. How much of that fuels your passion for doing this? Because this, as we saw in this case, can be a very deadly, detrimental situation and issue.
I definitely think with this piece, we're trying to bring to light the many implicit, because a lot of people think of the explicit, the macroaggressions that occur to Black women and Black girls in their lives. Many people don't think about the implicit, the way that we classify these girls, the way that we're quick to judge them before giving them a chance to explain themselves. And I think that incident was brought by that implicit bias by the police officer and not giving her a chance to actually say, no, I'm not doing anything wrong. Please give me a time to explain myself. And so we wanted in this piece to give an explanation as to the dangers of the implicit and explicit bias against Black girls.
And so once you had this idea, it was a matter of figuring out, okay, how do we produce it? I'm curious how much of a background you both had in this, in producing this kind of a piece, and how you went about it.
Well, myself, I've had 4 years of radio experience. So we were able to take some of my experience and some of Alma's connections and really put the piece together. It really fell together quite nicely. I was very pleased with how it came out. Between how we worked and how we were able to manage together, it was really amazing.
And your documentary there's been all this great feedback about it. And after hearing it, I think most people would understand why. But it's, as they say, blowing up. It's on nearly 50 public radio stations across the country this weekend. Why do you think that it's becoming so popular?
I think it's becoming so popular because people don't take the time to think about these issues. I think media portrays, puts on TV a lot of the black boys that are being killed in the most inhumane ways, but not a lot of focus on these black girls that face these issues. So it's something that is new to many people, so they want to learn more, which excites me because I think once you're able to have those conversations, I think this piece can start opening up space to have these conversations. And so it becomes more than just a radio piece. It becomes a Kickstarter to be able to help people actually address the root causes behind some of the violence and the inhumane treatment that many black girls face on a daily basis.
There are a lot of ways that you could have told this story. Why audio?
I think it was just one way that people needed to hear it. I think this was a venue that we were given. So we actually worked for, over the summer, the Heinz Endowments. We were summer youth philanthropy interns. And so what we had to do is get in a team, and we had to create a piece that we would like to produce, or we had to create a piece that we felt needed to be touched on. And this was a very good venue and a very good platform to do so. And it just ended up being picked up because I think we did this in August.
I don't know. I forgot.
We worked on it through the latter part of our internship. And this was one of our last projects. And this was how we like kind of went out with a big bang. And it was really nice.
And you often have overlapping voices in quick succession, but you juxtapose that with straight interviews. How did you determine what style you wanted for this piece?
It wasn't necessarily like a decision. It just, everything flowed together really well. I was very surprised during when we were making the piece how well things just made sense. And so we wanted to definitely include a lot of voices. And when I was, when we were trying to plan the interviews, I wanted to make sure there were people of women of color talking about this issue, because I think that women of color, especially black girls and black women, know this issue intimately. And there's not a lot of spaces in which we talk about this issue. There's not a lot of space that we're given to talk about these issues. So we definitely wanted to make this space in which black girls can talk about black girls' lives mattering, because it affects us on a daily basis.
We're very I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was saying exactly. And if you listen to each one of the voices and all of the different inputs, we've had inputs from all black women or women of color, between Ashley, Maheen Queen, Lee Loman, even the superintendent, Dr. Linda Lane. We all had, and between Alma and myself, we've all had women of color to interject on this piece, and it was really nice getting the different perspectives of it from even different professions.
Well, it's an interesting and compelling documentary, the audio documentary Black Girls Matter. We've been talking with the co-producers, Alma Ababio and Marna Owens. Thank you both for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh, and congratulations on your work.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. Until Monday, I'm Paul Guggenheimer, saying have a great weekend, everyone.